Thank you, everybody, for making me so welcome. Frank and I have been over here a few times. We're part of sort of Marlow River, and we've just really found a very comfortable place amongst you all, and it's been very, very welcoming, so thank you so much. I am very aware that when we come together and we say that we're going to speak about prayer, everybody thinks something different, and quite often we feel something different. So there's some people in here, I am absolutely sure, who are really excited. We are going to learn how to pray. We're going to learn something new. And then I am sure that somewhere there are a few that are going, prayer, you know, because so often our experiences of prayer are very variable. You know, prayer meetings are quite variable. Our own times with prayer are quite variable. We all go through seasons in our walk with God. And because prayer is basically the way we communicate with God, it's an outworking of our relationship, you know, our prayer lives shift and change as well. And we have some we have those seasons, all of us, where we feel really, really close to the Lord. And then we have other seasons when it just feels like it's hard going. Anybody admit to that? You know, and those seasons are sometimes connected to the seasons that we are going through personally. Sometimes they're connected to what is going on in the church or in the world around us. Sometimes they're connected to what God is doing in us. And so there's no formula for prayer. I'd want to say right at the beginning, I don't think that there's a right way to pray. There are principles. But there's no style that is right. You know, it doesn't matter if you pray down a list or if you, you know, just hear from God. I mean, I think everything should be a mixture. But you hear what I'm saying? There's no right way. It doesn't have to be done the Anglican way, or it doesn't have to be. I come from a Pentecostal background, so I'm sorry. Yeah, it doesn't have to be done the Pentecostal way. Those are not the important factors. None of that matters. What it is about our walk with the Lord and our communication with him. And the world around us is changing very quickly. And God has been doing some very interesting things in churches over the recent years. I mean, if you track church history, there are ongoing revelations that come. So after, I'm not very good at this, but after the Dark Ages, you know, we had Luther and the fact that salvation was through grace. You know, and then you come and you get the revelation of baptism, you get the Pentecostal movement, you get all sorts of things, restoration of healing and miracles. Of late, there's been such a revelation of the Father's love. And all of those are truths that we hold on to, and they become part of us, but sometimes God wants to add something new. He is moving forward. And I just feel that where prayer is concerned, there have been similar transitions. And God has been changing the way that we pray. Not that the way we used to do it is now obsolete, but he's been adding in fresh revelation. And I'm not sure that we're at the end of that journey. And what I want to talk about this morning really is just the place of preparation that I think God has been taking us through to be and to do what he wants us all to be and do in the years ahead. And 2015, we've had some words about it even today. A lot of people are talking about shifting and changing and some not so bright things in the future in the world around us. And you don't have to be very prophetic, I don't think, to recognize that. But that God's been preparing his people. And for us, this is the year for many of a real opportunity. It's the opportunity to take back some of the things that the enemy has robbed from us as individuals and from our society, from our nation. And sometimes, for those things to shift and change, God has to shake some stuff. And we're going to see some shakings. But they are the opportunity that God is setting out there for the church to rise up, to be who he called us to be, and to bring in the restoration of righteousness, justice, and all of those things in our community. And I also believe that this is a time of harvest. And I may not talk about that so much, but I really believe that. And I just, I believe that that's one of the things that God wants to do at this time. This is the time for us to see salvations. And a lot of salvations. And I believe that. And we need to know how to pray. Prayer is, at its most basic, the major key to change in our lives and in the lives of others. It's quite clear if you set it out in scripture, if you read it through. But one of the things that I'm just going to do is I'm going to put some foundations in today. I'm not going to do anything terribly deep or intense. I just want to lay a foundation, all right, so that we don't have to cover that when we come to the prayer course. But I just think that, over the last centuries, we have looked at the ones and the twos who have really stood out for God. And we all, I'm sure in here, know that God has been speaking in our day about him using all of us. Yep, not just the ones and the twos. But the ones and the twos broke through in areas of their lives. They didn't have life easy. They didn't. I mean, I remember the one that comes to mind is John G. Lake. Have you heard of him? Saw masses and masses, thousands of people healed. But actually, his own life as a child, he had members of his family die young, his wife died young. You know, he actually had to break through in some areas to take hold of what God was opening up for him. And sometimes I think, I don't know why I'm going down this, it's not in my notes, but anyway, we'll shift back to the notes in a minute. Sometimes, I think we feel like we are going to take hold of the big call that's on the heart, inside each one of us, by ease. And it just doesn't seem to work that way. And the reason I'm saying this is I just felt, when I was stood here, and actually earlier we talked about the caterpillar. When I came in this morning, I just had this picture of, the caterpillar that goes into the cocoon that emerges as a butterfly. And then it came out in the prayer this morning. And I was just stood here, and God reminded me of Jacob wrestling with God for actually a shift in his whole identity. The name, God changed his name. It changed from Jacob to Israel. And the meaning, in the Bible, our identities were linked to the name. And so there was actually a shift in his identity at that moment. And funnily enough, I read it yesterday, and I think it was the Amplified or the Message. And it actually focuses there on the fact that Jacob had this sudden realization that it wasn't just that his name was Jacob, but actually he was a supplanter and a deceiver and some of those not so good things. And yet at that point, God broke in and gave him a new name. And in the Amplified, it says contends with God. But actually, the name Israel also means rules as God. And that's quite a hint for us of where God is taking us. But I just felt that there might be some people in here, in this room, that you feel or have felt as though there is a real call on the inside of you for more. But somehow life seems to have got a bit tough. And I'm not wanting to put you in Jacob's category, you know, and who he was. But that is part of the process. Because the butterfly, when it comes out of the chrysalis, I'm reliably informed, struggles to get out. And it is the struggling to get out that actually gives the wings the strength. And the place to do and to process some of that struggling is in the place of prayer. It's the one-to-one with God. And I believe that Jesus is our friend, you know, that we have to have that level of relationship with him so that we can walk our daily walk, we can talk with him, we can chat to him, that, you know, he is part of my life. But every strong relationship has a one-to-one time. There has to be that moment, even if you think with your closest friends, when you say, oh, come on, let's go and have a cup of coffee. I need to talk. Really talk. Anybody recognize that? You know, and there is that call, and there are things that God wants to share with you and with me that will only happen in that intimate, that one-to-one place with God. And so prayer covers a whole spectrum. It covers the chat, it covers the intimacy, it covers, you know, my personal life and my transformation so that I can carry more of the presence of God. And it goes right to the other end of the scale. And there's the cry of intercession that says, I look for an intercessor on behalf of the land. And somehow prayer covers all of that, and God doesn't always distinguish between the two. He doesn't always separate them out. So it's like, well, I'm, you know, praying for my family. That's what I'm called to do. And somebody else is praying for their, for the land, you know, for the nation. God doesn't always bring that separation. If you look at the life of Hannah, you know, she so desired to have a child. You know the story in 1 Samuel, presumably, yes. And, you know, she so desired to have a child, but it's quite, the Bible's quite clear that God had shut her womb. God had done it. And you, if you read it, you read her process of how she prays to God, but there comes a moment where she says, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him to you. I give him to you. And he can, you know, and I just, it just struck me there that, you know, she was praying for something for herself, her desire, but there was just sufficient connection with the Lord and on, if you like, her peripheral vision that somewhere she caught the fact that there was something bigger involved. And as soon as she did that, God was able to give her the child and the child became a leader in the nation. And so somehow there's not that separation. Now, I said I'd just talk about some foundations. A few years ago, God gave me a revelation, which I know won't be fresh to many of you here, but it transformed my life. And he downloaded to me his desire and the power of his blessing. And up until that point, I'd known him, I'd walked with him, I'd prayed, I'd seen answers to prayer, I'd enjoyed him, you know, I'd enjoyed church, I'd done all of those things. But somehow God put something in my spirit that began, it became a seed that has brought a totally different perspective to my life. And what he showed me, and I know that the principle is not new to you, so I'll go through this quite quickly, But God, we know the story of Adam and Eve. We know that they fell. We know that brought a separation between God and man. We know it brought a curse upon man. And God did not want people to live under the effects of that curse. He didn't, and that's why he sent Jesus. But even before then, he put something in motion that was to push back the effect of the curse. And he called one man, Abraham, and he blessed him. And he blessed him that he would be a blessing. And it started with one man. It was a seed, if you like. And then you check through the scriptures, it goes from the one man Abraham down his descendants to through the patriarchs to a much larger family. And so this blessing that started with one man goes to a family, a large family. And then you come to the scripture in Numbers 6, where God said to Aaron, I want you to speak blessing over the people. And if you read it elsewhere, it's on a daily basis. So that's how you will, I will put my name upon them, if you read the whole scripture. And what God suddenly showed me was that that was his desire. He wanted his people to be blessed. Now, the trouble with using words like blessing is that we all go, oh, well, I know that. But what I think really impacted me was that God really, really wants to bless me. And the reason that God spoke that through Aaron over the people was that speaking it out would make a difference. Now, these are just foundations that I want to put in place. So he wants to bless us. He is good. You know, and we will not see prayers answered in the fullness of how God wants to answer them unless we understand that he is good and he wants good things for us. Otherwise, what happens is we come with a level of doubt in our minds that says, oh, you know, I don't know. Maybe I've really, really got to struggle. I've got to fight you, Lord, for this. Now, I'm not talking about whether you want a Jaguar or a Mercedes. You know, that's not where I'm going. Understand the heart, you know, here. But we do not have to fight God for the things that we need in our lives. That's why Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. There are times where God calls us to a place where we have to break through in an area, but we shouldn't live our lives under this battle in our heads and in our lives that says, I'm struggling, I'm struggling, I'm struggling. There comes a point where we need that revelation that says, God is on my side. God wants to bless me. He's made a covenant relationship with me. And I'm just going through this briefly, you know, but that is where we need to come from when we come to pray. Now, when you come into the New Testament, we are called the royal priesthood. So there's a transformation. So we've gone from one man to a family to a nation. And then suddenly we become that priesthood, a holy nation, and the blessing has the potential to go to the world. So when I come to pray, I stand in that flow of God's heart to push back the works of darkness and to bring blessing and good and transformation into people's lives. Now, that's one of the foundations that God has been putting into us in terms of prayer. And what it does is it releases me to pray for others. Because so often, and I mean, I can do this too, we all do it. You know, our prayer life is focused on our own selves and on our own needs. Would anybody acknowledge that? You know? But actually now I can come to a place where I can say, God, I still need to ask you for these things. I still need to give them to you. But I'm not trying to twist your arm behind your back. And I recognize that you've given them to me in the spirit to bring down. But that's your heart towards me, so I can stand in that place and I can look outwards to the world around me, whether that's my family, my friends, or something larger. And so God's been positioning us to pray. And when I'm talking about prayer, I know that we talk a lot about praying for people, for healing, laying hands on people, and all of that. Now, very often, when I'm talking about prayer, I'm talking about people that we can't actually physically reach. And people that, you know, the power of intercessory prayer, it's all of that. So it is the prayer for healing, but it's the power of intercessory prayer that has no boundaries. Prayer is limitless in its scope. You know, we are praying to a God for whom nothing is impossible. And so often my theology has been formed by my experience instead of my experiences being formed by my theology. And I've been on a journey these last few years. I mean, we're always on a journey. I've been on a journey. And it started with that thing about blessing, and I'm going to come to that power of declaration. And God calls us to pray with authority. That's where he's taking us all to. But also, God has had me on a journey of starting to believe what he wrote. Sounds so basic, doesn't it? You know, and we all go, yeah, I believe the Bible. Yeah. Do we really? You know, and there he is taking us deeper and deeper into him. And one of the things that happens in that place of prayer, you see, God, in Ezekiel, I think it talks about we shall all know him. Anybody, I can't think of the scripture off. I know it's there, but I can't think of the scripture offhand. But it actually says we shall all know him. And that word know is not some superficial word. The power of that word know is the same word as it's used in Genesis of Adam knew Eve. It's an incredibly intimate word. And God wants us to know him. He wants us to really know him, to know his heartbeat, to know that he's our Father, to know he's the Almighty Sovereign God. You know, there's a knowing that comes when we give ourselves to prayer. Now, sounds very religious, and I'm really cautious. I don't usually say things like that. Prayer goes with the Holy Spirit. You know, and there is a rhythm of discipline that is helpful, but not if it becomes religious. And there's a very fine line between the two. And Jesus is quite clear. You know, it's not the length of our prayers that matter. God can do something in a moment, but there is something that is real about us seeking him in terms of prayer, and sometimes that does take time. So, okay, follow us through there. So that's the foundation anyway. Another foundation has been the Father's love, and I'm just going to read this scripture, but this is John 16, 25 and 26 out of the Amplified. This is what I want you to do. To ask the Father for whatever is in keeping with the things I've revealed to you. Ask in my name according to my will, and he'll certainly give it to you. And your joy will be like a river overflowing. And we need to seek God for that revelation of his love if we don't already have it. And when we begin to understand his love, then we're in that place to be able to pray. But if you go to Ephesians 6, just conscious of the time, sorry. if you go to Ephesians 6, we talk about the armour of God. And warfare, personal warfare, is a real issue, and we will talk about that. But it uses that phrase that our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. And we were listening to some teaching just a few weeks ago, and that word peace, if you unpack it, means healing, prosperity, and protection. So again, even part of our armour, the feet that, the shoes that we're wearing, God has provided healing, protection, prosperity for us so that we don't have to worry. We can go out and do what he's called us to do. But anyway, Ephesians 1 and 2. Now, in Ephesians 2, there is that little scripture that talks about the fact that in Jesus, we are seated at the right hand of the Father. So he's positioned us as those that are blessed to be a blessing. He's positioned us with the Father's love. And now he actually gives us a new position. And it's Ephesians 2. And he just says, Paul just says, you are seated. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, far above every principality and power. And it's another phrase that we know. It's another phrase that sounds very easy until we try and live in it. But God, by his Spirit, has given us a new position so that we no longer pray only from the earth up to heaven, but we in heaven, because that's where we're seated, can hear what the Father's heart is, can hear what God wants to do. And so now we no longer pray from down here, Lord, I need, I want, this person needs, they want. We catch hold of what God is doing and we can speak it down to the earth, because that is what he wants. And we know it. And so Jesus said, kingdom, pray, kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the kingdom of God is the place where God rules. He is the king. It carries his values. I believe it, if you look at scripture, it has all the requirements of a kingdom. It's got a financial system. It's got a healthcare system. It's got all of those things. And it carries the values of the King of Kings. But it's a spiritual kingdom. Some scriptures talk about it being the kingdom of heaven. And what it needs, those are the things that God wants the earth to experience. But the root is that of prayer. It needs people. Now, I know it needs action, but it also needs prayer. And prayer is the precursor to the action. Because prayer births something, if you want to use intercessory language. It activates something. It makes something happen. Prayer, when you stand in that place of prayer, you connect heaven and earth. And so God is calling us. And as I say, I think we've all been on a journey. And I think there's more revelation that he's giving at the moment. But those are the foundations of where we're going to, begin with the prayer course. And some of those, one of them I might unpack again anyway. But he hasn't called us to pray only upwards out of our need. He's provided for our needs. Yeah, we can bring them before him. But he's looking for people who will take hold of what he wants to do in the earth and bring it down from heaven. And that's what heaven to earth means. And if you look again, I won't go down this line now, but if you look at the scripture on blessing, you know, the priest spoke it out over the people. It was a declaration. They didn't say, please, Lord, will you bless? Now, I don't want to, sorry, if I know we all do that. I do it, you know. But that isn't what God told the priests to do. He said, speak it out, declare it over them. And from that place, seated above the principalities and powers, not only do we catch hold of what God wants to do, but we catch hold of his authority. And we pray with authority. And God is calling all of us right now to understand that he gave dominion of the earth to mankind under his rule. And I will unpack that another day. But if you just look at maybe, the biblical mandate, if you like, is Genesis 1, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it or rule it, have dominion over it. If you look at Psalm 115, verse 16, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. Jesus, you know, he just said, I give you the keys of the kingdom, the authority of the kingdom. So God is the almighty God, the sovereign living God, the King of kings, the Lord of glory, but he has chosen to restrict what he does on the earth to where we are willing to partner with him. And that's just awesome. It's a huge responsibility. Because quite frankly, if we look at some parts of the world right now, we're not doing so well. You know, and I just think that that is why God is calling us up. And he's positioned us and he's put all sorts of things in place so that we can start to stand and be who he's called us to be. But prayer is, and I'm repeating myself, that place of connection between heaven and earth. So when we come to the prayer course, we're going to look at that place of intimacy. You see, in Joel, it actually talks about the priest standing between the altar, the porch and the altar. So we can face two different ways when we're praying. And some of it is directly to God. It is intercessory. It is focused on him. And it's very, very intimate. And then some of it is when we turn around and we face outwards and we start to speak what he wants onto the earth. But I'm going to look at that place of the private place, that hidden place. I'm going to look at, in detail, why and how God's called us to govern and what that means, because we don't have authority over people. Let me just say that. You know, we have influence on the earth, but we have authority in spiritual authority, authority in the spirit realm. Okay. And the spirit realm is the one that makes things happen on our earth. Some of you are looking confused. Okay. Come to the course and you'll find out about it. We're going to talk about heaven to earth. We're going to talk about why do some of my prayers just not get answered? Are there any principles underneath that I need to hear about and know about? We're going to look at if you're facing a town, if you go, as a church, God's given you a town, an area. How do I pray for that town? How do I pray for my, I use the phrase sphere of influence. Would you know that? Yeah, that's a phrase you use. You know, how do I pray for my school? How do I pray for my street, you know, all of those sorts of things. Because every one of us has got a specific arena that God has given to us. It's our inheritance, if you like. So I'm going to look at all of those things. All right? Okay. So should we just pray now? I just want to take an opportunity. If you just want to just shut your eyes, and I just want to pray that, first of all, disappointments of the past are just lifted off. Because we all have those. And if I had a little bit longer, I'd have talked a bit more into that. But I want this to be a fresh beginning. We talked about that earlier. Even in that arena of prayer. And I'm just going to pray for just that revelation of just the power of prayer. So, Father, we just want to thank you for every process that you've had us in, Lord, in the last season. Father, we want to thank you for all that you have been to us, all that you are, Lord God, and all that you are to us and for us. Father, we want to thank you for the power of your presence in our lives. But Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to just lift off, I speak off, Lord God, every disappointment, Lord, that has come upon your people in the place of prayer. I break off, Lord, every lie that the enemy has spoken to us. And Father, I want to release a fresh revelation, a fresh season of prayer, Lord God. And Father, we want to thank you that that's your heart. And so, Father, I want to ask that in the days ahead, you will start to speak to us, Lord. Fresh revelation of who you are, what you want to do in us and through us, and just how to pray effectively, Lord God. And I just ask you by your Spirit that all the old would go. And Lord, that that which you want to bring into the new season, Lord, you will bring in. And that which needs to be left behind is left behind. And Father, we just release intimacy with you and fresh faith and hope, Lord.